You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
I'm Tony Heath.
And we're going to watch every episode of Doctor Who and then talk to you about it.
Every episode?
Every single one.
In order?
From an unearthly child to, you know, the future. And we're going to do it in a podcast that we call...
The Watchathon of Rassilon.
WatchYourRassilon.com. And we're also a part of the ESO Network. So check us out or whatever.
Please.
Stay Rassil Awesome.
Stop trying to make Rassil Awesome a thing.
Nope.
The Death Star plans are not in the main computer.
Where are those transmissions you intercepted, including those of the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast? I need my weekly dose of sci-fi news with movie and TV reviews and commentary.
We intercepted no transmissions! This is a consular ship!
If this is a consular ship, where is the ambassador?
Sorry, I was indisposed.
I will give it a moment to air out, if you know what I mean.
Who needs the ambassador? I thought I heard someone call out for me. What in the bloody hell did you do to Ramus? Speak up! Which one of those chest buttons calls your supervisor, you imbecile?
Geez, mister. Honestly, he was, like that when we got here. Right, fellas?
Mister, I am an ambassador.
Let me see your identification.
Shut it, Bob. You are as clumsy as you are stupid. He doesn't have to show you your ID.
We don't need to see his identification.
You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Libsyn.com, and Stitcher Radio. The Monster Sci-Fi Show is part of the ESO Network. It's sci-fi. From a certain point of view. Hello, and welcome again to the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast. I am your host, The Monster, back to give you another week of sci-fi news. So for this week, the big three topics I'm going to be talking about, we have a new TV series called Metropolis that's coming to the DC streaming service exclusively. So that's another app, another channel we have to pay. All right. Next, I'll be talking about the Ant-Man and the Wasp trailer. And lastly, I'll be talking about something called deep fake. So if you don't know what that is, you'll be interested to find out what I'll be talking about in regards to deep fake. So let's start off with Metropolis. All right, so I'm reading this. I'm like, all right, we already have Gotham. Right, there's no Batman per se. He is in training, right? Before then, we had Smallville. Clark Kent was kind of in training, but not Superman per se. But here, we would have... Oh, and then before then, don't forget, we have Krypton that's coming out next month on a sci-fi channel. So this is two generations before... Superman is even born. Okay. And now we're going to get Metropolis. So another kind of location-based TV series. But we're not going to get Superman. But from what I've been reading is that we are getting a Lois Lane and a Lex Luthor. And they're going to be, I guess, friends, frenemies. I don't know. From what Lois's role looks like to be, I'm like, this sounds like Kolchak. If you know Kolchak, that's from the last century, in which it's an investigative reporter or a photographer trying to uncover the paranormals or whatever's going on in that city. Whereas here in Metropolis, I guess she's going to be reporting, solving cases, or whatever that may be. in Metropolis. So I'm taking that one. There has to be a Clark Kent somewhere. Even though he may not be in Metropolis, he's somewhere around. He just hasn't made the move. That's all. So I'm thinking, like with Gotham, the series will end with young Bruce Wayne becoming the Batman and taking over the role of, you know, the Caped Crusader, the Dark Knight. That's how the series will end. So I'm thinking with Metropolis, if it does have a successful run, it has to end with Superman doing the exact same thing, taking over the reins and reigning in the criminals, so to speak. So I'll be curious to see how it all plays out, especially about Krypton. Because Krypton, you pretty much have a blank slate to kind of do whatever, if it even works. Whereas Metropolis, it'll be interesting to see non-powered characters be the focus of the storyline. So it could be kind of like a more serious version of Powerless, which I love that series, but it was, I don't think Metropolis is going to go for humor. But if you can do an interesting drama in which we have normal people dealing with superpowered beings, we'll see. I mean, hey, I never thought Gotham would work, but it has surprised me. So I don't think you would have to go with the exact same darkness and tone and dreariness and hopelessness that Gotham has. But Metropolis will have its own problems, albeit not the exact same, but I'm sure. And if I remember correctly, there's two producers who are on that show that are coming over to do Metropolis. So it's going to be in keeping. So I'm kind of curious to see how that all plays out. But more on the point about the DC streaming service. So I was doing some research because this series is not coming out to 2019. So that's a whole other year. But later in 2018, maybe sometime in October, we are going to get that DC streaming service. So somewhat much like the CBS paywall, the CBS All Access, in which you had Star Trek Discovery launching that service, Titans is going to be the live-action TV series of the Teen Titans, which will be airing exclusively on that DC streaming service, as well as Young Justice Season 3, which is a completely animated series. And Harley Quinn is actually getting her own animated series as well. So that's actually three interesting properties that I'll be looking forward to. Now, like I had a problem with the CBS All Access wall, is that if you're trying to attract Star Trek fans to watch everything else CBS, there's not necessarily a good mix. I mean, sure, you have access to all the other Star Trek series, but unless you like the tons of NCIS or Blue Bloods or all the other programming that really are just not for me, then you're just watching Star Trek for that and only that. Whereas the DC streaming is that they're looking at possibly getting the Batman original series. We're getting possibly Smallville, the first Flash series with John Wesley Shipp, and then of course Lois and Clark, the New Adventures. Lois and Clark, the New Adventures of Superman. The Super Friends animated series. I would love to see that again. Static Shock, Batman the animated series, and of course the DC's movies that they've done exclusively well on direct to DVD. All those animated movies. That'll be awesome to see that. So my thinking, and from what I'm guessing, is that of course there's going to be, it has to be kind of in a Netflix range. So we're looking at maybe $7 to $9. From what I'm gathering, there might be a little higher cost if you want even more material, but it looks like there might be tying in to some digital comics, which will be kind of awesome, because Marvel Comics, which I like for $9 a month, is honestly doesn't tie into anything Marvel other than its own comics, but I'm willing to kind of pay a little bit more to have access to all those shows and to digital comics. So kind of like with Amazon, how you become a Prime member and you get to have videos and music and all that. That's a nice little cherry on the DC sundae there for me. So that's actually kind of whetting my appetite enough to seriously give it consideration. So let's move on to the Ant-Man and the Wasp trailer, which was just released. So overall, I thought it was decent. There was nothing wrong with it. We are looking to see a lot more Giant Man-ish, Ant-Man changing. But there was no mention of the Michelle Pfeiffer character that Gene and I talked about. So, yeah, there's nothing about that or that sub-story that was kind of hinted in the first movie. But we know she's in there, but we see nothing of her. So that's kind of cool. Now, the other thing that I loved about the first trailer was that there were some inside jokes about the size in which... When, if you remember, Yellow Jacket and Ant-Man were fighting on a train, and a train was, I think it was Yellow Jacket that was going to get crushed by a little toy train, and then he just keeled over, but it was just a toy train. But for Yellow Jacket on that size, it was really a big deal. So those kind of jokes, I really laughed, and I was hoping that in the movie, there would be better jokes. And there were. So in this trailer, we see a van or car being shrunk down and going underneath another van and then blowing itself up to the normal size and knocking that other van out of the way. We also get the Hello Kitty pest dispenser being increased in size and being tossed out. So it seems like they're going to the exact same formula, and I'm hoping that they will also have even more jokes along that exact same way. So, I mean, the one moment that I loved is when him shrinking down a building and then he takes the whole building like a little rollaway case. That's funny. I actually liked that a lot. So I thought that was kind of cool and clever. So again, I'm hoping that this will be the thing that kind of does what the first one did. So I'm hoping that this movie then ratchets it up to 11, you know, which is one more than 10. So whatever worked in the first movie, I want more of that. And what more of that, which sadly was not in the trailer, or at least I don't remember, was Michael Peña, who plays Lewis. So Lewis, one of my favorite characters in the first movie, you know, when he tells his story or his version of the story, it was hysterical. And I want more of that. I want to see more of Lewis's story being told. So from his point of view, if they do that, plus all the little size jokes and all that, I'll be fine with that. I'll be really happy. Now, there is some kind of controversy-ish about the Wasp costume. So if you look at it, it looks fine. Being a woman, she has to have certain attributes covered, but then the costume has something down the middle against her lady parts. So if you turn the costume upside down, you'll see it looks like male genitalia. And I'm like, wow, someone pointed it out to me, and I'm like, I can't unsee this now. So now that you know, now you're probably going to be looking online to see what I'm talking about. And yeah, that's wrong. I'm sure they were not thinking along that lines, but there have been worse designs than that. But that's a little on the nose, so to speak, you know. Anyway, let's hope for the best and not be distracted by the Tina's costume that she's wearing. All right. So I'm going to go to another realm, and this is called deep fake. stuff is going around about this new technology in which you can do amazing stuff and replace actress faces with another actor. So there was an article that came across this week in which it's about Nick Cage being inserted into every single movie you can think of. So there's him as Harrison Ford in Indiana Jones. There's him as Amy Adams playing against Henry Cavill in Man of Steel. And it's creepy and it's amazing. And oh my God, this is just fantastic. It really is. Except for the scene in which Amy Adams is in a bathtub and he's talking to Henry, which is really creepy, really, 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 oh my God, super creepy. But the reason why I bring this out here, if you remember years ago, there's tons of face swapping apps out there that you can do with your iPhone, right? So you take two faces and the app will switch your face, and in real time, you talk like the other, your mouth will move like that other person, but it's your face. So the quality is fine and it's improving day by day. And a couple of years ago, Adobe came out with something called Voco. And basically, it's Photoshop for audio, in which you can pretty much manipulate and construct brand new dialogue or monologues, however way you want to stress, of someone talking, which they have never uttered those words. So, the reason why I bring this all up, if you remember Rogue One, we had the very last scene with Carrie Fisher. We had some other actress playing Carrie Fisher as Princess Leia, but then the face was digital. It was CGI. Same thing for Governor Tarkin. Another actor portrayed, but then his face was replaced digitally. It was a little, it's a big improvement over those face apps. Let's start off with that. Okay, very well done. But looking at the deep fake, and if you look at those online for Nick Cage, you really are going to be impressed by it. So the whole point that I came up with ideas, like I really wanted to talk about this, is because we lost Carrie Fisher. One of the things that people said, no, we're not going to digitally recreate her. But on this level, on which you can, because we already have tons of photos of Carrie Fisher, is use her image. Get another actress with the same build, same height, whatever hairstyle. And because the voice will need to be changed, you can use that Adobe Voco to make Carrie Fisher sound like Carrie Fisher once more as General Leia Organa. And you can recreate her face better than what you saw in Rogue One. Then by all means, not that J.J. Abrams or Kathleen Kennedy are waiting for my approval or are listening to this damn podcast, but I would implore them, please use this as an option to finish the story that was started. It would suck to have an off-screen death of a major character and not have some kind of closure. Sure, you could have done that in The Last Jedi with her being blown out into space, and that would have been the end of it, but they chose not to do that. She still survives. So I think this might be our best option. This may give us that closure we all need. Now, putting that all aside, here's when it kind of gets dark. So I don't mean to make you guys feel uncomfortable, but if you have small children or whatever, I'm going to be talking about adult stuff. Okay, so stop the audio because, again, this is more for adults. So, about a month ago, I've seen videos of Gal Gadot doing non-Gal Gadot things. Meaning, her face was put on another actress or another woman's face that was in a porn movie. And normally, I've seen these videos in which it's the heads were basically videos of them talking to whoever in an interview. So they use those videos and kind of intersect so that they're overlaid. But it's never the exact same thing or whatever they're doing versus what the actress is doing. But because of the whole deep fake thing, it's eerie how you can do this almost effortlessly to make it seem like it's the real thing. So there's going to be a dark side to this technology, like any technology. But this also lends to the problem of, well, hey, if we can do this, let's say for Carrie Fisher, let's have Harrison Ford be forever Indiana Jones. Just get another actor. You have his face. Hell, you don't even need to have Harrison Ford be in the movie. Just give him a paycheck and that's it. If he's long gone, it's okay. We got his image. So from a legal point of view, this is going to get tricky because people post images online. And if there's data out there, that data can be used for anything. And you can sound like you did something and look like you did something, but that wasn't you. That was someone else, and your voice was manipulated. So, talk about fake news. This is like the ultimate fake news that you can recreate anything. So, next week, hopefully, I will be doing another gathering of the Symposium of Nerds. And we're going to be talking about Altered Carbon, which is the new series on Netflix. So, we're looking at the first episode to review, as well as the Black Mirror Season 4, the USS Callister. We'll be talking about that. Plus, we'll be adding another Big 3 news items in which we'll be doing a major discussion on, whatever that may be next week. So, with that, you can always send me your comments, your thoughts, your concerns at monstersci-fi show@gmail.com. You can always follow me on the various social networks. So again, thank you for listening to me and to the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast. It's sci-fi from a certain point of view. Good night.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.